Ephesians 5:15 through 17. All of us are familiar with this. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is.
Over the last couple of months, we have been studying some of the extreme characters in the Bible and the lessons that we might learn from them. We began with the stupidest man, the wisest woman. We've studied about the slyest man, the greatest man. We've studied about the wickedest man, and we have talked a little bit about those who are the most righteous in the land. And last week we talked about the worst friend in the Bible. This morning I want us to turn our attention to the man who was the most foolish in the Bible. The most foolish man in the Bible. Of course, there are a lot of options for a man to identify in this category. Judas, some would suggest, was the most foolish, though that's not the word we ordinarily use when we think about Judas. Some would say, of course, the rich fool that Jesus describes. And in his description of that man, God says, "You fool, this night your soul will be required of you." Or maybe we'll talk about the foolish Galatians. Foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, Paul writes to them. Or the foolish virgins, or the man who built his house upon the sands. Or maybe Esau, the man who sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. But I've got another candidate for you this morning that I think we can learn some lessons from, and that is the man Abner. In 2 Samuel, we can read about Abner and his association with Saul, but particularly in 2 Samuel chapter 3, we read of the final days of Abner. And in 2 Samuel chapter 3, and in verse 32, David laments over the death of Abner. 2 Samuel chapter 3, and verse 32, "Thus they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice, and he wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. And the king chanted a lament for Abner and said, 'Should Abner die as a fool dies? Should Abner die as a fool dies?'" The family valuation, the epithet on his tombstone is, "Should Abner die as a fool dies?" Abner was Saul's first cousin, and he was the commander of Saul's army for all those 40 years that Saul was the king. And as such, Abner customarily sat at the king's table. It was Abner, you may remember, who introduced David to Saul after he had defeated Goliath. And it is Abner who has been responsible for whatever victories that Saul has won over all those long years of his kingship. Commander of an army, you think of that. For 40 years, a man who is in charge of the warfare of the nation. A man who is in charge of grizzled veterans and whips into shape those who are newbies to the army. This man, Saul, had considerable competence. But after Saul's death, Abner chooses to support Ishbosheth as opposed to David, and opposes David as Saul had opposed David. A major battle is fought between the forces of David and the forces of Ishbosheth, commanded by Abner. And in this battle, Abner killed Asahel, who was Joab's brother. Joab, his counterpart in the forces of David. Joab is David's commander-in-chief. And Abner kills Asahel, Joab's brother. And then when Ishbosheth insults him, he turns and negotiates with David in David's city of Hebron. And that's when he dies at that point in time. You can read about his death there in 2 Samuel chapter 3, and beginning in verse 27. 2 Samuel 3, verse 27. "So when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the middle of the gate to speak with him privately, and there he struck him in the belly so that he died on account of the blood of Asahel, his brother." Abner died at the hands of Joab. Joab and Abishai, the brothers of Asahel, became avengers of blood, it seems, after Asahel's death. And they sought to put Job to death to revenge the blood of their brother. And of course, Joab is pretty well known in the scriptures as being a bloodthirsty kind of fellow anyway. It might have taken several months, maybe even over a year, before Joab finally killed Abner outside, just outside the gates of Hebron. And I think it is significant that it is the city of Hebron where he kills him, and just outside the gates. Hebron is one of those cities of refuge that God established in Deuteronomy chapter 35 before they ever came into the land. Six cities that would be set aside for the man who had killed inadvertently or in the time of war, and whose relatives became avengers of blood, and he could flee to those cities, and so long as he stayed in those cities, he would be safe. And that was the case with Abner. So long as he was inside the city of Hebron, he would have been safe. Moreover, Hebron is the city of David, and David is in negotiation with Abner. But Abner, despite the fact that he knew the law, and despite the fact that he knew Joab and the kind of character that Joab was, despite that, he listens to the voice of Joab, and he walks outside of the city. He walks outside of the gate, and Joab stabs him in secret, and he dies. It kind of reminds us a little bit of Eglon, when Ehud killed him by deceit. And so it is that David cries out and says, should Abner have died the death of a fool? He called him in verse 38 of 2 Samuel chapter 3, a prince in the land. Do you not know, he said, that a prince in the land, a great man, has died today? Should Abner have died as a fool? Here's the amazing thing. David thought, despite the fact that Abner was his enemy, that he was an incredibly competent man, that he was in some ways a great man, that he may have been even a prince in the land, and as a cousin of Saul, who was the legitimate king, that would have been technically the case. He was a soldier. He was a man of considerable competence. He was a formidable man. He was a man who had been in charge for a long time, and apparently with great effect. You would have expected a man like that to have died in some great battle, or a man like that to have died with great honors. But no, Abner died as a fool. Abner died stabbed into the belly by Joab, the avenger of blood. Abner died as a fool because Abner listened to the voice of Joab and went aside outside of the gate, outside of the city of Hebron, the sanctuary city, went outside of the city of David to listen to Joab, and he died. And he died as a fool. David says he deserved a better death, but he died as a fool. And it is a great shame that he died as such a fool. Abner knew the place of safety. He knew the danger that Joab presented, but he left the place of safety and he trusted Joab, and he died as a fool. And I'd suggest some ways, maybe, Abner is one of the most foolish men in the Bible. That he died as a fool says some terrible thing about him. It's not the legacy that he would have wanted to leave. It's not the legacy that he would have left had he had just not played the fool on that occasion. But our point, of course, is not just about Abner, but about this idea of playing the fool or being played as a fool. It's kind of a common expression in our day and age. To be played the fool means that you should have known better, but you didn't listen. And, of course, in some ways, everybody plays the fool. As the song by The Main Ingredient says, there's no exception to the rule. Everybody plays the fool sometime, at least in matters of the heart. Everybody plays the fool sometime. Everybody plays the fool sometimes to salesmen too. I suspect there's not a single person here who does not look back with some regret on some purchase they made just because they believed a salesman. Pinstripe suit, slick talking, and you believed him? Are you kidding me? We've all played the fool in that way. Useless junk that we now have nothing but regret for. And unfortunately, too, in a more serious manner, we've all played the fool based on supposed friends. Those people who said they were our friends, who pretended to be our friends, And yet they led us into some kind of mischief or led us into some kind of sin and temptation just because we played the fool and we listened to them when we ought not to have listened to them. It's one thing to be young and foolish. Those two words almost go together, young and foolish. You feel sorry for those who are young and foolish and have to learn the hard way. They have to learn the hard way about the deceptiveness of romance. They have to learn the hard way about the deceptiveness of salesmen. They have to learn the hard way about the deceptiveness of supposed friends. But this is an amazing thing about Abner. He is no young man. He is a grizzled veteran. It would have been one thing for a fuzzy-cheeked newbie to have been taken in by Joab's deceit. It's quite another for Abner to have listened to that and have trusted him and have gone aside for him. He was fooled when he should have known better. And that's what we're concerned about this morning, is a spiritual application of that principle. We ought to know better. And yet so frequently, people play the fool in spiritual matters. Because truth of the matter is, it's not Joab who pursues us. We have one far more deadly, far more terrible, far more formidable, far more deceitful than Joab who pursues us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 reminds us all that the devil prowls about seeking whom he may devour. And like Joab who whispered to Abner, come aside. Let me tell you something that will be of interest to you, maybe of mutual benefit for us. So Satan plays us as fools when we listen to his deceit. And that's his principal tool. I mean, Joab was a liar and probably a pretty good liar, apparently convincing enough liar to get Abner to step aside with him. But he is nothing compared to Satan, who is the father of all lies. That's his principal tool, is deceit. Satan long ago learned that he was not more powerful than God Almighty. Satan long ago learned that those who put their trust in Jesus Christ are out of his reach. But he knows if he can just deceive us into stepping aside, into leaving the safety of the fold, that he will win in the end. And you look how effective he has been over all the long history of Scripture. Adam and Eve were deceived. Gehazi was deceived. Achan was deceived. The rich fool was deceived. And I'll tell you this about every one of them. Not a single one of them at the point thought that it was going to lead to what it led to. Not a one of them but heard Satan's whisper, it's okay this time. Nobody will know this time. This little bit of an infraction of law does not matter. They were played the fool by Satan's deceits. And there are a lot of categories of people that you've seen, unfortunately, over the years who have been played the fool by Satan and have paid the consequences for that. There are young people, and you see them, as they start out in life, bright, full of hope for the future, and yet they have their purity stolen by the deceits of Satan. Some kinds of fruitless lust tempt them and lead them astray. No wonder the Apostle Paul writes to the young Timothy, and he says to him, flee fornication. Run the other way when you see it coming. But people don't listen. Young people in particular do not listen. And like some kind of Dorian Gray, they are playing the gay life. They're engaged in this reveling that we talked about at the beginning of class this morning, and all the while they're listening to Satan. This is fun. There are no consequences. All the while, though, they're being eaten up by the disease of sin that is corroding their soul to the point that they will die the fool. Paul writes about that in Romans chapter 6 and verse 21, where he expresses some regret, I think, for his own youth, but he recognizes much more the regret that he has for the youth of others that he's seen who have wasted it far worse than he did. Romans 6 and verse 21, therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed, the outcome of which is death? There are hardly any of us who are of any age who don't have some sense of the regret about that. The things of which you are now ashamed. Satan whispers and says, now is the time for fun. And the world says, yeah, while you're young, you should be able to sow your wild oats. But there is a crop for that kind of a planting that will be harvested one day. Be careful of the deceit of Satan. And there are people who play the fool when they don't listen to advice. Proverbs 10 and verse 8, and of course the whole book of Proverbs is advice of a father to his son, but Proverbs 10 and verse 8 particularly says, the wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Why will the prating fool fall? Because he is listening to the sound of his own voice as opposed to listening to good advice. How many times have we heard sermons, have we read tracts about the danger of growing lukewarm in our service to God? And yet, we know, even right now, most of us know some folks who are growing cold because they've been attracted to the things of the world, because they've turned aside to listen to Satan, who says, yeah, let's talk about something to our advantage, our mutual benefit here. And yet they play the fool because you can't trust that word. And because they don't listen to the advice. How many people have gotten entangled in sins of the world because they haven't listened to the advice that says, just stay away from that stuff. Flee that kind of situation. Don't even put yourself close to the possibility that, oh, I know you don't intend that, but stay away from it. And they don't listen. And the next thing you know, they're reaping the consequences of that in their life. And of course, as we talked last week about friends, that's sometimes Satan's best avenue of whispering to us and playing us as a fool by getting us to trust the wrong kind of a person. Literature and history are full of the examples of people who died as a fool because they paid attention to the wrong person. They trusted the wrong person. Robert Ford, the dirty little coward that shot Jesse James, that shot Mr. Howard and shot Jesse James. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Our Danglars, who betrayed Edmond Dantes and the Count of Monte Cristo. A Clytemnestra, who betrayed her husband Agamemnon. Or get back to those things maybe we're more familiar with, the young prophet in 1 Kings chapter 8, who listened to the whispered word of the old prophet who pretended that he was his friend, but he really was the voice of Satan. Step aside with me. It'll be for our mutual benefit. Or as we talked about last week, Amnon, who had a friend. A friend who led him to death. And of course, there are those people who are played the fool because they make no preparation for the things that are most important. There are those people like the rich fool in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21 of Luke chapter 12, where Jesus tells the story of the rich man whom everybody looked on and envied, who had so many riches that he had to tear down his barns and build new ones to fill them up. And then one night, reality set in when God said to him, tonight, you fool, your soul is required of you. And then whose are these things going to be? He had lived his life without making any preparation for this most momentous moment of all. I'm pretty sure this rich man had prepared when he had gone into the palaces of the princes of the land. He'd made preparation before he concluded any kind of business deal. He'd made preparations in his personal kinds of affairs before parties that he attended or he gave. But he hadn't made any preparations for the judgment. He hadn't given any thought to eternity. He died as a fool. Maybe the worst kind of fool of all, though, is that which is described in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 9. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, where the writer there is pleading, of course, with Christians who are in danger of playing the fool. In Hebrews 6 and verse 4, for in the case of those who have once been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify to themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. He just goes on and on. They know. They have tasted the security. They understand the good things of living a life in which you are righteous and clothed with the righteousness of Christ. They understand the value of being forgiven of their sins. They understand the quality of life that you have with Christians, even in this world, much less the hope of the world to come. And yet they have turned their back on that. And this, I think, we find most the example of Abner in a spiritual sense. That David said, should Abner die as a fool? Should these Christians die as a fool outside of the fold of safety? But so frequently, you see Christians who underestimate the enemy and they disregard the things that they have been told and advised over and over by others who are wiser than they. Maybe wiser because they've experienced the temptations too. And they leave the fold of safety by believing Satan's lies. Oh, and there are a whole lot of those lies that, are likely to be told. There is the lie. It says, once saved, always saved. Doesn't matter what you do now. Once you've ever named the name of Jesus, you're saved. But that's not the case. You can fall from grace, as the Apostle Paul wrote to those foolish Galatians. In Galatians 5 and verse 4, you've been severed from Christ. You were seeking to be justified by the law. You've fallen from grace. No matter how great the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ may be, when we step outside of that grace and mercy, when we step outside the fold of safety, when we disregard what He has warned us against, there is no salvation in that grace. David was a powerful king. He had prevailed against Ishbosheth. He was right there in his own city of Hebron before he had built Jerusalem. And Abner was safe. But when he went outside, there was no safety. The problem with many people is they listen to the voice of Satan. They believe the lie that says one time doesn't matter. Just once, you deserve a little bit of gratification, a little bit of satisfaction in life. This one time won't matter. Whether it's drinking or gambling or adultery or what other kind of sin it may be, this one time won't matter. It's what starts so many promising Christians, servants of the Lord, on the path to destruction. There's the old lie. It says you don't need to go to every service. You're stronger than that. Who's going to miss you anyway? And even if they did, you're not going to miss them. Everybody deserves a week off. You're stronger than that. You don't need that constant kind of reminder. And of course, appreciate Tom and his talk before the Lord's Supper, reminding us that we do need to remember Jesus and to keep His sacrifice in our behalf in our minds constantly. There are some people who listen to that deceit of Satan. You keep going every Sunday and you're just going to make it old and tired. It won't be fresh and new to you. That's what happens when we listen to the voice of compromise. I have no idea what Joab said to Abner. Step aside with me. It is absolutely mind-boggling that Abner would have listened to him and would have stepped aside into the dark, outside of the gate of Hebron, and died. No wonder David says, a prince of the land has died, a great man has died. Should Abner have died as a fool? What do you think about that? How many times that's played out over and over among God's people? They ought to know better. We ought to know better. And what we listen to that voice of compromise. Just one time. That'll be okay. Just one time. It won't hurt you this time. You're strong enough to withstand this. I don't believe there's any harm in this at all. Those old fuddy-duddies, you know, they just are too strict, those old people like that. Or Joab looks like he's a friend. Jonadab looks like he's a friend. No. As we studied last week, we've got a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, but not in Joab or Jonadab. People, we have to learn the lesson of Abner, the most foolish man in the Bible. That's why we read over again passages that we know so well, Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17. And sometimes we read the passage of Scripture we're so familiar with and we don't understand the impact of those. Sometimes we kind of gloss over the wording, but Ephesians 5, 15, therefore be careful how you walk. Be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, so he says it in that kind of nice way, but as wise. Make the most of your time. The days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't you remember when you were sin sick and sorry and you cried out to the Lord and you said, forgive me, I'll never do it again. And we fled to Jesus for refuge. And we had a place of safety, washed clean of our sins, set among a group of Christians who sought our best interest as they serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace of mind as we come together and worship Christ together. The relief of having our sins washed away and the redemption of our souls, of being added to the church of Jesus Christ. And then why risk it? Why listen to the deceit of Satan and die as a fool? Romans 1 and verse 22. Of course, I don't know all the terrible things that Apostle Paul is facing here, but in Romans 1 and verse 22, it seems like he's talking about this situation. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, of birds and of four-footed animals and even crawling things. Crawling. They thought that was God. It's like, that could never happen to us. I don't know. Be careful about the warnings. Don't be unwise, but wise. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of God has said. If you've tasted the kindness of the Lord, then don't give that up. Because you know what? The only way Satan can get us is the only way Joab got Abner, is to tempt us to come outside of the city of refuge. That's the way of the fool. Here we're safe, gathered together with one another in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so long as we live clothed in Jesus Christ, so long as we walk in the Lord, we are impervious to Satan. You know, there are people who worry about demons and demon possession. And there were certainly demons in the Old Testament and demons in the New Testament, and they're demons today. However they're allowed to affect mankind, I do not know in detail, but I do know this, that we are safe from them as long as we are in Jesus Christ. Because he is stronger than they, and he is stronger than Satan. And there is no way that Satan can affect us at all as long as we stand firm in our faith in Jesus Christ. And we have some here this morning who are grizzled veterans. We have some who are young. But the advice for every one of us is the advice that we learn from Abner, the most foolish man in the Bible. Don't die the fool. Stay safe in Jesus Christ. And if you're here this morning and you have not yet named the name of Jesus, you've not yet repented of your sins and confessed Jesus as your Lord, been baptized for the remission of those sins, been added to the role of safety to the church, you better do that right now, because you're outside the city of Hebron. You're outside the protection of David. You're vulnerable to Satan until you become the Lord's. And we encourage you to do that this morning as we stand and sing.